The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 441. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Over the last couple of episodes, I have been talking in my intros about a new project that I am affiliated with. And that was, of course, the Columbus Cartoon Coalition, also known as C3, their anthology that they are producing. Now, that anthology, the sales of it, is going to help local creators in the state of Ohio with their various different monetary needs, because it takes money to start any type of project, whether it's a film project, whether it's a comic, whether it's a book, whatever. You need some cash up front. And so this wonderful crowdfunder campaign is for C stands for, which is a great anthology of some unique tales, all of which begin with the letter C. So I'm going to sit down and talk to a creator and a contributor to this anthology. And his name is Robert Montserrat. Robert has done a story for the anthology called C is for Creatures. I don't want to ruin it, so that's all I'm going to say. But I will let you know that Robert and I talk about this particular project as well as some of his other projects. His love of Godzilla, is a dog scout, what C3 means to him, etc., etc. So it's a great episode that you don't want to miss. But before I get to my conversation with Robert, I got to thank once again a great sponsor of the PVD Cast. That, of course, is World's Greatest Comics. You hear me every single episode tell you about the Taj Mahal of comic book shops here in Central Ohio, that being World's Greatest Comics. They got everything you need for your fandom. They've got single issues, they've got collections, they've got graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a great staff, a wonderful pool system. They got you covered, okay, for your comic book collecting needs. So, if you're in Central Ohio, stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can find them online. WGComics.com is the web address. And they're very active on their Facebook page. Just search for at WGComics. And I want you to know that I stopped by to see Jeff and the fine folks down there. And Jeff had remarked that over the last couple of weeks, he's had about two or three customers come in and tell them that they heard about the store from me right here on the PVD Cast. And that makes me just makes me so excited. And I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Please, if you do stop by the store, let them know that you heard about the store from me right here on the PVD Cast. It means a lot to me. And let Jeff know that his sponsorship is not in vain. And you know what? I say it every single time that I read this copy, but I truly mean it. I want everyone to know at World's Greatest Comics how much I appreciate their support throughout the years. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Robert Montserrat. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another C3 live stream. I am John Orlando. I'm here as your host, and we're going to be talking about a great anthology that C3 is putting out with a lot of great artists from the local area. And joining me is one of those local artists, Robert Montserrat. Right, let's get Robert up here. Robert, how are you doing this evening?
Good. I'm doing just great.
That's good. That's excellent. So we'll talk a little bit about your background in art and whatnot, but let's start off talking about this great project that's going on through C3, which of course is the Columbus Cartoon Coalition. And they have this awesome anthology that's called C Stands For. So tell me, how'd you get involved in the C3 organization, Robert?
Well, I think I joined the Discord in about 2022, although it was a little later that I started being a bit more active. It was after this one GalaxyCon, this guy I remembered from a convention I go to every year called G-Fest happened to be at that particular GalaxyCon, and his name was Lewis, and he recommended me to the C3 table, which wasn't that far from my table, so we got to talking, and here I am.
You know, I just chuckle because that's always how it is at a con. You know, you're talking to somebody, and they go, hey, talk to this guy, you know, and whatnot. Let's talk about your contribution to the anthology, the C Stands For. So tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I decided to use a character that I've been working on off and on since I was 6 years old named Raraku. I decided to use my own character to kind of just tell a couple jokes about other monsters, and because Raraku is like a type of monster character, and yeah, just an excuse to tell some jokes, basically. Is there anything else you'd like to know, like, about it?
Do you have any other ideas for maybe a future edition of the anthology? Like, if you could create another one besides Raraku, what would that be?
Another story?
Yeah, another story.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Well, I was originally going to do this one idea for this particular anthology, but it did seem kind of ambitious.
Okay.
For the amount of time that I had, it was going to be like C Stands For, and it was going to be like creatures from Greek mythology, basically like a cyclops horde and a centaur and some kind of hydra. But I was like, man, this is getting kind of out of hand mentally. So Raraku seemed like a good alternative, a good two-pager, yeah. But in the future, you never know, I might go with that idea that I had.
Okay, the one that was a little more complicated, a little more out there?
A little more complicated, yes.
Gotcha. Why did you decide to participate in the anthology?
Because I love comics. I love making them. I love coming up with the ideas and seeing it through. And, you know, I'm always looking forward to being able to hone my skills, you know?
Right. Absolutely. You know, let's talk a little bit about your skills, because you had your training, your formal education, whatever you want to call it, at CCAD. How was that experience?
It was good. I think I learned a lot of good fundamentals. I may have gotten a little burnout in senior year, but that's another story. You know, I think, yeah, I learned a lot of good pointers on how to draw the human form and how to, you know, there was one technique they taught me called basic frame in portraiture class, which I was like, it was like, say, like you got the bridge of somebody's nose, you just kind mm-hmm. just analyze the shapes down to the minutest detail. And somehow it clicked for me because I couldn't do portraiture of people for anything before that. But then all of a sudden I was like, hey, I can actually get a good likeness now.
Would you say that that was maybe one of your favorite classes then? Or did you have a different class that you really look forward to going to every day?
I think the one I looked forward to the most may have been that one. That's the one I remember most positively, because I was like, I was doing pretty good.
Okay. Hey, having success is a good motivator. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go back to talking about the C Stands For. Yes. If you were to tell a friend or a relative or somebody about it, how would you try to entice them into picking up a copy of the anthology?
Well, I would say that, you know, it's got a lot of great artists at the top of their games. You know, it's local.
Okay.
And it's just good to support people. You know, if it's a family member, then I'm going to say, hey, you're supporting me too.
Yes, that's the most important one there. You love money just like anyone else. And, you know, since we're right. talking about that real quick, let's talk about the crowdfunder campaign. Right. It's got a unique system for reaching its goals. So as of right now, right before we went on air, I was informed that the current total is $718, and we are about $232 away from raising the artist page rate to $10. And in fact, that's a great thing, Robert, definitely, is it not?
Oh, totally.
Let's run down how this tier thing works, if you will. So if there was no matter what money was raised up to $950, everybody that contributed would get $5. Mm-hmm. For the money that was raised from $950 on up to $1,550, everyone would get $10. So we're almost at the $10 tier. The donations come in if you could raise $1,550 right to that mark, then everyone gets $15. So let me rephrase that. So if you go from $950 to $1,550, you get $15. It's $950 or below that, you get $10. And then if you get over $1,550, everybody gets $20. And all the funds will go to local artists for different types of tabling fees, supplies, all kinds of things. So it's a chance to really help out the local independent community here, not only in just Central Ohio, but throughout the state. And Robert, obviously, that's great to be $232 away from the next tier.
It is really much, very much is.
Okay. You know, one of the things that you mentioned GalaxyCon, and, you know, I assume that you have done some tabling.
Yes,
in the past.
I have.
What's some of the key things you must do to have a successful tabling experience? In your opinion, what are things that have to happen in order to have obviously selling your wares is number one. I know that. I know that. But besides that, what might be one of the things that must happen in order for you to feel that you had a successful tabling experience?
Let me see. Well, a good display never hurts.
Mm-hmm.
I usually take little, what do you call those things? They're like triangular and you put your books on them, like a stand.
Yeah.
I bring those so that my books are standing up and so that the person walking by can see them easily, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And also having a script is good for like brief descriptions of what it is that is inside your books, and always allowing people to flip through them and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah, all those standard things.
Go ahead. And maybe like projecting an air of self-confidence, fake it till you make it sort of thing.
What's maybe one of the negative things you've seen people do that you're like, oh, no, you shouldn't do that? Or maybe even you've done it yourself in the past and learned from it.
That's a good question. What have I done in the past that maybe I wouldn't do today? Maybe, I don't remember if I've exactly done this, but I remember getting kind of annoyed at people that would take photos of my work.
You know what? I've heard that before in the past. A lot of creators don't really dig that idea.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not the only one to come up with that one.
Yeah. You know, maybe getting down on myself in the past if nobody really purchased anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not always about the quality of the work or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's more about them than it is about you, sort of thing. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It makes perfect sense. Yeah, you want to make sure that you have great quality and you You, I think a lot of people at cons, a lot of creators, you got to walk that fine line of being aggressive, but not too aggressive.
Right, exactly.
Clientele. You gotta know that balance. And I've seen it firsthand sometimes when somebody's been a little too over aggressive and it's kind of a turnoff, you know?
Yeah. I sometimes get afraid of doing that. So maybe I'm too unaggressive or something.
maybe.
That's probably one of my shortcomings.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about your background, Robert.
No problem.
When did you know that you wanted to be an artist?
Probably since I could pick up a pencil.
Really? You were one of those kids that were constantly drawing?
I was told I was pretty good, even though I probably was no better than any other kid. But I mean, I was really passionate about what I did. And I would always make up stories. Like I said, my character, Raraku, who's in this anthology, is one that I came up with at the age of 6. So, yeah.
Do you remember the day when you came up with that, or is that too far in the past?
I do remember.
Really? Can you share the story?
Sure, no problem. It began when I discovered Godzilla movies for the first time, and I thought they were the greatest thing since sliced bread. And then later, I guess I was just drawing idly one day, and I thought, you know, I'd really like a pet crocodile. And I was like, even at that age, I was like, well, that's not going to happen. So why don't I make up a creature with the name I was going to name that crocodile, Crocodile Godzilla, you see. Mm-hmm. And so the character had the name Crocozil for years. And I did all kinds of story ideas with him to varying degrees of success. And eventually, I decided to change his name to Raraku, which is another word I liked. It's actually a quarry in Easter Island where a lot of the Easter Island heads are found. I managed to find a way to work that name into the story to say how he was named after those, the story that I'm writing with Raraku. But for years, he had the name Crocozil, and just, you know, which is a fine name, but it kind of sounds like a kid made it, you know. So I was trying to change it.
Okay.
But so, yeah, I wanted a pet crocodile and I couldn't get one, so I made one up.
Okay. I guess it's probably safe to say that your parents are pretty supportive of your endeavors in art.
I'd say they are, yeah.
Okay. Excellent. That's one of the key points, I think, for any creative endeavor, no matter what you're looking at, you know, is if you have that support from friends and family, you know, that makes the difference in the world there.
Yeah. Yeah. They were always like sending me to Saturday morning art classes at CCAD or things like that when I was a kid. And they would buy me books on how to draw and always get me markers or things like that. So.
All right, cool. Well, you mentioned Godzilla, and you mentioned how that kind of started. Do you have a favorite Godzilla movie in the whole franchise?
Oh, man, that's hard to pick. I always kind of say the original because that one resonated with me for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Just the circumstances of its creation and what it was trying to say are just very fascinating to me.
Okay. All right. What about the newer ones? Are you a fan of the newer ones as well? Or do they still don't have that certain something, the certain specialness that the originals had?
I'm a fan of most of the newer ones.
Okay.
There are maybe one or two that I'm not as big into as the rest, but hate is a strong word.
Okay. I gotcha.
I think they're all, any Godzilla movie is worth watching at least once, in my opinion.
That's a great opinion to have. Okay. I'll go for that. I must confess the one that I'm not a big fan of was the one with Bryan Cranston in it.
Oh yeah, that's the one. I wasn't going to bring it up, but that's one of the
ones. That one I'm like, this is what we're going with. Okay.
Like, I like Bryan Cranston, but he wasn't in it for very long. And then kind of Godzilla himself was not always in it for that much, but it's not so much not showing Godzilla, I've come to realize. It's just, if you're not going to show him, are you going to replace him with something interesting? Because it's kind of like the original Jurassic Park, which had only 15 minutes worth of dinosaurs in it, but you were still entertained by what was on screen, so you weren't really thinking about it. So the 2014 Godzilla movie, for most of it, we just follow Aaron Taylor Johnson, who's just being this very bland character, and that's the problem, in my opinion.
Well, you're right. I'm right there with you.
I still try to give it another chance every so often.
Okay. I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Robert for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a friendly staff, a great pull system. They have everything you need for your fandom. So, stop by the store if you're in the area. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you could check them out online. Their website is wgcomics.com, and they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics. So, while doing some research, I see that you have a companion, your dog Scout.
Oh, yeah.
You want to tell us a little bit about him?
Oh, he's 7 years old and going gray, but he's still my baby.
What breed is he?
He's a golden retriever.
Golden retriever, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And you've had him for 7 years?
Yeah. Got him like in the year 2017. So he was born in March of 2017, and we took him home like maybe 8 weeks or so later.
Oh, so you had him from when he was a puppy?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. How was that puppy training? I imagine that could be challenging.
Yeah, it kind of was, a little more so than my previous dog, who seemed to be house trained after one or two trips outside. Scout took a little longer, but he eventually, you know, has mastered that, and he's a very good boy.
All right, good for you, Scout. All right, good for being a good boy.
Yeah. He can be kind of rambunctious when visitors come over, but usually he's pretty calm.
Okay.
He's a real charmer.
Yeah. Any other pets or just Scout?
Just Scout.
Okay. All right. Well, shout out to Scout for being a good boy and doing all the things that a good dog should do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk, Robert, about your inspirations. Who or what inspires you to create your art?
Who or what inspires me? Mostly it's just wanting to create my own versions of certain stories or characters that kind of fires up my imagination. I used to want to write my own Godzilla stories, but then I think later I decided to make my own monsters, and that interests me more than just doing the same Godzilla characters again.
Well, quick note, if I may interject for a minute. Would you find it if you got, let's just say somehow, some way, hey, Robert, we want a Godzilla comic. You're a great artist. You're a big fan. Would you find it really challenging? Because with many of those type of properties, artistic teams have to do something new, but yet still retain that je ne sais quoi that makes the product what it is. So do you think that would be the challenge?
That'd be challenging, yeah. I know there are stipulations that Toho Studios puts on different creators. They're not very, very restrictive. Like, I think most of them are like Godzilla can't eat people and Godzilla can't die. Otherwise, you're free to do pretty much whatever, but I think if you wanted to have like a certain monster from another story, for example, Japanese copyright is kind of strange. So for one thing, you have to license each Godzilla monster individually. And also say like there's a character from either the Dark Horse Godzilla or the Marvel Godzilla that you wanted to use. You'd have to go through them in order to get that character, just all kinds of stuff. And I think I remember hearing there was another thing that IDW might have run into where like they couldn't really take elements from the films, but they couldn't contradict what happened in the films. And I was like, how do you go around doing that? But they seem to have put out great content anyway.
Okay. Yeah. That's weird. That is totally weird. Like
it's Japanese copyright. I don't really understand it, but I think that's what I heard anyway, but
okay. I don't even know if we answered the question of what inspires you, but making your own stories. There we got
making my own stories and sorry.
That's all right.
And knowing that I'm the only one that can really tell what's in my head kind of thing, that motivates me and letting my imagination run wild, you know?
Mm-hmm. How would you describe your style of art to somebody?
Well, comic booky. I guess I did read a lot of how to draw comics books when I was growing up and trying to imitate styles of like, say, well, I guess you wouldn't call it the Marvel method today, but I did have one of those books. I had some books on how to draw manga too. Kind of a hodgepodge of different things. A lot of artists I like are like Frank Frazetta or Joe Kubert or guys like that kind of have a gritty look, very fantasy oriented, very monster oriented, very epic. I try to be pretty epic. I guess hopefully my art style lives up to that. Trying to think how else I could describe my art style. I guess I use a lot of, it can be kind of cartoony. Like I use black lines a lot.
Okay.
It's digital. I tend to draw it all in pencil and then take a photo of it and put it in Photoshop.
Okay. So you tend to be a little more technological, if you will.
More technological. It's a very graphic style in terms of like a 2D image.
Okay. Cool. As a kid growing up, you said you read comics. What are some of your favorite comics?
I liked the Dark Horse Godzilla comics.
Mm-hmm.
Those were a major influence growing up by guys like Arthur Adams, and I think even Bob Eggleton did one.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked, you know, Spider-Man. I remember having a couple Spider-Man comics as a kid too, usually ones with Venom because I thought he was a cool monster.
He was. He was. And then they made movies.
Right.
And anyways, well, we'll stop there. That's another podcast for another time, if you will.
And I also, there was this Pokemon manga that used to run in like the 90s called The Electric Tale of Pikachu. Mm-hmm. I had one of those, and it was kind of the same plot as the anime, but there was like blood and stuff during scenes of like the two Charizards fighting and things like that. I just remember really liking that too. It was good reading.
Okay. That sounds like a little more edgier Pokemon that I would be taken aback by that.
Yeah, maybe it was for a slightly older audience. I forget who drew it, but I know who put it out. It couldn't have been Viz in those days. I don't remember who published it.
Okay.
But well, it was fun.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would be something different, definitely, for the Pokemon universe. Definitely. Mm-hmm. So do you have any future projects coming up that you'd like to talk a little bit about?
Sure. I have a little zine I'm creating called OK, which stands for Original Kaiju.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
I did make a first volume, which I sold at the Small Press Alternative Comics Expo this year. But I'm going to next year be tabling at a convention in Chicago called All Monsters Attack. And I want to make a slightly larger version of that zine with more kaiju in it.
Cool.
It's just monsters I've come up with over the years. Like there's kaiju I've come up with when I was a teen. There's kaiju I've come up with maybe a few years ago. Just ones that for one reason or another, I haven't really done stories for. Some not yet, but some I might in the future. And I just wanted to design and make art of them and have them in a nice little zine where I could flip through it and be like, yeah, I made this. And as an extra bonus, there are coloring pages in the back of it.
Okay.
Of the kaiju line art that I put together.
Well, you know what? It sounds like an awesome project. And as you put down, you are the monster artist of Monster Talent, which...
That is true.
That's a great tagline, may I say.
Yeah, not to toot my own horn, but it's true.
Toot your horn all you want. Go ahead.
Okay.
You know what? Before we start wrapping things up here real quick, Robert, quick question. You mentioned space, the small press and alternative comics expo. Have you tabled there multiple times, or was just this past year the first time that you were there?
I've been there multiple times.
Okay.
I've sold different things there, like... I have this book about the creation of my Raraku character that I created called Dinosaur Demigod. It has like art in there from when I'm a child up to probably the year I published it, which was, I think, 2021. So I'm still working on Raraku as a future project. I hope to get that done at some point, but it's kind of a long endeavor. I have the story down and everything. It's just sometimes I waffle between like, should it be a prose novel? Should it be a comic book? I'm starting to think maybe it should be a comic book because it's very visual. And yeah, those are what I got going on, I guess.
Okay. So real quickly, we'll go back to space for a moment. If somebody's just tuning in for the first time and they're unaware of what space is, can you give a quick summary as to what it is?
Well, it is a local festival where people can grab their comics that they've created. A lot of independent creators of comic books, of zines, of even just regular books in the Ohio area and sometimes outside. They come to the fairgrounds and you get to see a lot of things that maybe you wouldn't see in like a bookstore or something, but it's very wonderful and worthwhile nonetheless.
Yeah. Bob Corby, the proprietor of Space, has done a fantastic job. I've been there several times as a fan and actually as a tabler as well. Tabler? Is that tabler? No. Tabler. That's not right. Is it?
Proprietor?
Okay. Anyways, I have been at a table there. How about that? There we go. We'll go that.
Seller. You could say that.
There you go. Vendor. There we go. Vendor. Anyways.
Vendor. All right. Yeah, that's a good
one. Yeah, there you go. We'll go vendor. It's a great experience. You should come out and check it out. You know, obviously it's passed already because I believe it was in May this past year. But next year, keep your eyes out for it. So Robert, before we run down the crowdfunder campaign one more time, where can folks find you on the internet if they want to know what's going on with you?
Well, I guess the place I post the most is my Twitter at, Montserrat Robert. And I also am trying to get my Blue Sky off the ground, at robertmontserrat.bluesky.net or whatever the handle is. I'm also on Instagram at Robert_Montserrat.
All right. There you go. As real quickly, we had up just a few moments ago. Robert, obviously there's your social media stuff, but space. Yeah, right there. Facebook.com/backsplash. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. It's
okay.
I don't know what's going on here, folks. Anyways, Backspace. Space Comics Expo. There you go. Go to Facebook. It has all the info. Let's talk about the crowdfunder real quick. Again, it's for the C stands for anthology. No matter what money is raised, everyone's getting $5 that contributes to the project. If you can raise up to $950, then everybody gets 10 bucks. If you can raise up to $1,550, then everybody gets 15 bucks. And if you get more than that, $1,550, everybody gets $20. You see right here, we're $232 away from raising the artist page rate to $10. all this money is going to a great cause. It is going to help all these great independent Ohio creators. Oh, I almost forgot about the discount code. Oh. Well, if you watch this live stream, whether you're watching it right now live or you watch it later, you know, tonight, tomorrow, whatever, use the discount code for the project and you can get, I think if I remember correct, you can get a couple of bucks off. Mm. And so interview-10. And again, help out, folks. It's a great cause. It is 10% off if you use interview-10, by the way. Thank you, Sydney, for that. Help out all the great artists, Robert, Kelsey, all the folks that we've talked or I've talked to in the past. Here is the Discord if you want to join. You know, if you're a struggling artist or you're not a struggling artist, but you just are an artist, you can jump on the Discord and hang out with folks. This is, of course, PVDcast.com, the home of my great independently produced podcast called the PVD Cast. And with that, Robert, is there anything else real quickly that you want to say before we wrap things up?
Go check out the crowdfunder, everybody. Yeah. And it was great chatting with you. And yeah.
Well, same here, Robert. I appreciate you sitting down and chatting with me. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, well, I'm going to get on out of here and I'll talk to you later. See ya.
See ya.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Robert Monserrat talking about C is for Creatures, his submission to the C stands for anthology being produced by the Columbus Cartoon Coalition. And over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be talking to a lot of other talented creators who are going to benefit from the money raised through this crowdfunder campaign. And I know some of you might say, John, I'm listening to this episode after August 26th. Can I still get a copy of the anthology? Of course you can. They're going to have them for sale at the end of September at CXC. I guarantee you that they're probably going to be available other places throughout Central Ohio. The best advice I can give you is to follow C3 on Facebook, on Instagram, and keep eyes and ears open. They'll let you know where and when you can pick up an anthology. So, and if you're somebody that is listening before the 26th ends, go on over and get your copy. And again, all of this money goes back to the creators, back to the artists. And it's a great thing, folks. So if you can, definitely get a copy of the anthology. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I need to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode or any episode for that matter. First off, you can shoot me an email if you like. John Orlando at pvdcast.com is the email address. You can also leave me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just look for @PVDcast. And I'm even still over on Twitter. My Twitter handle over there is @PVDMVP. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know about this great podcast and where they can hear it. Well, there's a bunch of avenues for that. First, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and the simplest way to get every single episode of the PVD Cast. But of course, it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets. All you have to do is go into the search bar of your favorite app or outlet, put in PVD Cast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if you are using your favorite app or outlet to listen to the PVD Cast, do me a favor, rate and review. Rating and reviewing pushes me up in the algorithm. And by the way, you can also subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVD Cast. There's still one final way that you can hear every single episode, and that is through the weekly Facebook broadcast that I do every single Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So tune in to the Facebook page. Once again, that's @PVDcast on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just repeating it for you one more time in case you wanted to check out that avenue for hearing my beloved podcast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to the episode. And with that, I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2024.